thing.
Good evening, everybody. It is just turned 6 o'clock, so we'll make a start. Can I say welcome to Rydale District Council Planning Meeting, held in public this evening on the 6th of November. I've just got a few housekeeping matters that I need to run through. If the fire alarm goes off, it will be for real, and you should leave by the exit on your left or the doors behind me to my right and assemble in the car park. Conveniences are located in the corridor, where you will also find a coffee machine and drinking water. We have a number of speakers this evening. Each speaker has 3 minutes to make their presentation, and I will give you an audible warning when you have 30 seconds left. Please can I ask members if they have a copy of their agenda papers? Thank you. And please, can I ask you to ensure that your mobile phones are switched off? If we could do the apologies for absence, please.
Apologies have been received from Councillor Mason, and there is no substitute.
Thank you. Do any members have a declaration of interest? Councillor Hope.
Thank you, Chairman. Item 7, personal non-prejudicial. Thank you.
Councillor Potter.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Item 15, I've been lobbied, so it's personal non-prejudicial, non-pecuniary.
Thank you very much. We turn now to the minutes of the last meeting. Has everybody read the minutes? And if we have no issues with them, can somebody propose the minutes for me and second them? Councillor Potter.
Yeah, I know we're making another decision on the Ampleforth one tonight, but shouldn't that be on the minutes, as it was an item on the agenda and to have had a decision?
If everybody's happy with those minutes now, if I could have a proposer and a seconder, please. Councillor Graham, thank you. Councillor Cleary, thank you. I'll put those minutes to the vote. Thank you, members. That's unanimous. Sorry, I beg your pardon, I missed that. Councillor Burr abstained because she wasn't at that meeting. Thank you. We'll withdraw your vote, Councillor Andrews. Thank you. We'll move on to the schedules of items to be determined. We have... I beg your pardon. Urgent business, and I have no urgent business. Thank you. And now we'll go on to the schedule of items to be determined. The schedule is printed pages 8 to 10, and we'll start with item 6. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Members are expecting the Ampleforth application to come back in the sense that we're here tonight to agree conditions that will sit with the decision to approve the application. The report also covers a number of other issues, just to bring members up to date with what's happened with this application. There has been a request made by the Council for Protection of Rural England for the Secretary of State to call in and determine the application at a sort of national level. The upshot of that effectively is that the case work unit have asked us to continue with the meeting this evening to consider the conditions and then let them know the outcome of that meeting. They will then, at some point in the future, let us know whether they are going to call the application in for the Secretary of State to determine. Unfortunately, they haven't given us a timeline on that, but they have just asked us to contact them tomorrow just to let them know what the outcome is. By way of a further update, members will recall that following the meeting in September, there was a need to advertise the application as a departure from the development plan. We've done that, and the comments that we've received as a result of that are included in the report. I think, to my mind, they don't really raise any more substantive issues that members haven't already considered. When members considered the application in September, I think you were fully aware that the application did represent a departure from the development plan. I think the most substantive issue that has been raised as part of those representations is that we should have considered, or the Planning Committee should have considered the development as being major development in the sense that national policy has specific tests for major development in nationally protected landscapes. Madam Chairman, I've outlined in the report why I don't think we take the view that the application isn't major development. For administrative purposes, in terms of planning applications, it's technically a major planning application, but that's not the same as the definition of major development in terms of national policy and protected landscapes, which is why we haven't engaged in the specific tests that are set for that and why we don't think it's applicable in this case. Moving on to the conditions, Madam Chairman, the conditions that we believe are necessary to accompany any decision to approve are outlined in the report. They've been run past the applicant's agent and the applicant, and the comments that they've made are included in the report. We've considered what they've had to say, and I think we still take the view that the conditions that we're proposing are those which we feel are necessary, enforceable and reasonable. I think perhaps the biggest single issue for the applicant was that we specifically mentioned the rebed filtration system in one of the conditions, and I think that they perhaps would like a little bit more flexibility around the treatment of treated flows. We've included it because it was specifically one of the measures in the innovation, sustainability and innovation statement that you considered when you considered this as a Para 79 application. So we're recommending that it is specifically referred to and included in the condition. Madam Chairman, the conditions are there to be agreed this evening. Thank you.
Do members have any questions for Jill regarding the conditions that we've imposed? Councillor Burr.
Thank you very much, Jill. So just for clarity, you actually have spoken to the applicant regarding the conditions, and the one that is probably the most contentious is the one that you've just outlined.
If I could just clarify, I haven't spoken to the applicant. I've emailed, there's been an email exchange with the applicant's agent. I have summarised that in the report. I don't think I've missed anything out. The issue about the rebed one is effectively me almost assuming that that might be the most important issue for them. They haven't specifically said that, but it is something that they did hone in on in terms of the comments on the conditions that we made.
If there are no other questions, would members like to debate this? And if there is no debate, if someone would propose and second it, please. Councillor Windrus.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'll move officer recommendation.
Councillor Potter.
Yes, I'm quite happy to second that. Thank you.
If we can go to the vote, please, members, because it's been moved and seconded. Thank you, members. That's unanimous.
Just to clarify the point that Jill had made earlier, the essence of that is now that we'll report that decision to the planning casework team. We won't be issuing the planning permission. And then they will deal with it in the request for the call-in through the CPRE chairman. By doing it this way, which is essentially an agreement between us and the casework team, it avoids the Secretary of State issuing a direction not to issue a decision, so it's an easier way to the same outcome, Chairman.
We can move on to item 7, which is application number 19/00888/full. It's for the erection of 2 4-bedroom detached dwellings with a detached double garage, together with the formation of a vehicular access and associated landscaping. And I think it's Neve. Thanks, Neve.
Thank you, Chair. This application is back before Planning Committee following the site visit that was undertaken last month. This application seeks approval for the erection of 2 4-bedroom dwellings with double garages, the formation of a vehicular access and associated landscaping. As you're aware, this is an exact resubmission of the previous scheme that was approved by Planning Committee in August 2016. The 3-year time limit for this expired in September this year. There have been no significant changes to either local or national planning policy in the interim period that will be relevant in the consideration of this particular scheme. The application site is a 0.29 hectare grass paddock located north of Finkel Street within the development limits of Sheriff Hutton. There are existing residential properties to the north, south, east and west of the application site. It doesn't fall within Sheriff Hutton Conservation Area, nor is it a designated visually important undeveloped area. The site access is taken from this point on Finkel Street, and the site itself, the developable area of it, measures approximately 79 metres in length by 40 metres in width. As you're aware from previous meetings, the 2 dwellings would be two-storey in nature with a footprint of approximately 112 square metres, with a ridge height of approximately 8.2 metres and an eave height of 4.8 metres. Letters of objection have been received in relation to this application from the occupiers of 5 properties, and those representations were fully summarised within the officer's report. A further response has been received from the occupier of 8 Castleside following the publication of the late pages. And briefly, this noted that they were pleased that members of the committee were able to attend the site visit. They hope it will give an increased appreciation of the immediate proximity of the proposed access to neighbouring properties and their boundaries. They have made some comments in relation to the planning conditions to retain and protect the boundary hedgerows and whether that can be carried out. And they have requested, rather than granting planning permission, that they refuse permission unless the developer can provide plans in line with these conditions before approval. So as we discussed in the previous meeting, and as you've seen from the officer's report, it's considered that the proposal for two dwellings is acceptable in terms of principle, in terms of character and design, and also in terms of residential amenity. This is a photograph taken from Finkel Street, and it shows the precise access that would serve the two dwellings. And that is another view of the access from the north looking southwards. And on the plans, you can appreciate that this is the location where the passing place would be installed. I would note that North Yorkshire Highways have confirmed they have no objection to the proposed development, and they have recommended a series of conditions. One of the issues that had been raised within the representations received is whether the width would be achievable. And the North Yorkshire Highway officer had confirmed that he did believe it would be acceptable for emergency vehicles. The plans show there is a minimum width of 3.6 metres, and the agent has confirmed in writing that this will be achievable based on the topographical survey and land registry details. And they confirm there's been no challenge to the registration at present. There's been nothing received. This is essentially a civil matter that is an issue for the landowner and any adjoining property owners to contest if there are any concerns. But if the proposed development, when it came forward, wasn't able to achieve what was set out in the plans, then the visibility displays, which are a pre-commencement condition, and the width there would have to come back before us for any kind of amendment to what is the proposed plans at the moment. And in terms of the boundaries at the site, there are quite expansive mature hedgerows. The agents confirmed it is their intention to retain these where possible. This has been covered by conditions 7 and 8 of the that have been recommended, and in that respect the local planning authority retain control. So I would just conclude by noting that this is the exact resubmission of the previously approved scheme. There have been no significant changes to local or national policy in the interim period that will be relevant in the consideration of this scheme, and for that reason it is recommended for approval. Thank you.
Thank you, Niamh. We do have a speaker on this item, Mr. Mark Newby. Mr. Newby, if you'd like to come up and take a chair. It's the large button on the keypad at the bottom. You have 3 minutes, sir, and I will give you a prompt when there's 30 seconds remaining.
Thank you, Chair. Members were advised at the last committee that this application is a resubmission of an identical scheme which was approved by Planning Committee in August 2016. And some members have now had chance to consider the proposals for the benefit of a site visit. It remains, however, that in terms of local and national planning policy, there have been no significant changes since the previous approval that would be relevant in the consideration of the scheme, and as such, the proposal satisfies the relevant policies of the Rydale Local Plan Strategy and the NPPF. That the site is located within the development limits of Sherry Footon, which is a service village in the Rydale Local Plan Strategy, where limited small-scale housing growth can be accommodated. The proposed scheme is of an appropriate layout, design, scale and appearance such that it will not have an adverse impact on the character and appearance of the area. The proposed dwellings would provide an acceptable level of a residential amenity for its occupiers and would not result in an unacceptable detrimental impact on neighbouring properties. The site does not lie in an area which is at risk from flooding, and it will not cause an increasing risk of flooding elsewhere, and there have been no objections from Yorkshire Water or the IDB. There are also no objections from the local highway authority with regards to the scheme layout, access and visibility. There have been no objections from the statutory technical consultees, and the representations from neighbours and the parish council do not raise any new issues. In respect of land ownership boundaries raised by neighbours, we restate that it's a civil matter and not one which would be a material consideration in the determination of the application. The applicant is content with the conditions proposed to be attached to the permission. In conclusion, we submit that there are no other material considerations or sound planning reasons that would warrant refusal of application, and we would therefore urge the committee to support the recommendation of the planning officer to approve the application. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll throw it open for questions for the officers, please. No questions. Councillor Hope, this is your ward, so I'll pass it over to you for first comment.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you. I just wanted to know if they got the... I know you say it's a legal matter, it is, but on my mind clear. Have we got the issue sorted out over the driveway and the access and that? There's a slight problem there for legality.
Well, to the satisfaction of the planning authority and the local highway authority, yes, in terms of its technical assessment.
Yeah.
The matter of land ownership will crop up again later on this agenda tonight. It's a matter that isn't material to you, really, in that sense. The issue here is whether or not this development, which is about the access, really, in terms of the key consideration, whether it's a safe development or not. And clearly, I think you were... Although I wasn't there myself, I think you were assisted on the site inspection. I think the engineer, the highway engineer, also turned up to explain his consideration of the case. So from our point of view and from the highway authority's point of view, they feel that the highway issues have been adequately addressed by the submission.
Thanks for that. Yeah. If I can just have another one. Boundary edges, they're going to be protected. Can you tell me why there's been a lot of cutting doing on where we went in? There's a big heap of heavy pruning when we went in. I thought we had to wait till after the planning had been granted or refused.
Thank you. I'm not sure particularly what pruning has been undertaken, but I would note that the site, because it isn't agricultural, the hedges there would have no specific protection at the current moment. But this application in the imposition potentially of conditions 6 and 7 would actually afford the local planning authority a better degree of control on the overall retention of hedges and maintenance and their protection within the construction phase as well through protective fencing.
Thank you. I'll just... should have started with thanks, but thanks for the officer for the hard work they've put in, and thanks to the members that did attend the site visit. I think you can look at it a different angle when you get a site visit there. You can see what's going on. Thank you.
Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm more than happy to support our officer's recommendations for approval. This is a resubmission, identical scheme, and probably I was sat on the planning committee previous that approved it, so I can't see any problems with it, and I would like to move approval.
Councillor Cleary.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Yes, I hadn't realised we'd actually gone into debate, but I'm very happy to second the proposal to support this recommendation. I can't really add any more to what the comments from the public speaker said. Nothing material has changed since 2016. It was good enough then, it's good enough now. It's a good infill site. The access is fine. I'm all for it and I second it.
there are no further comments, members, it's been moved and seconded for approval. Could we please go to the vote? Thank you, members. That is 8 votes for and 1 against. It is approved. Moving on to item 8, members, it's on page 221, application number 19/00278/MREM. That's got a new one on me. And I think it's you, Gary. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. In fact, I do have.
Reserve matters.
Yes. Thank you, Chairman. This is a site that some members will be aware of. It's a site that's had a fairly recent planning history in the sense that there was an outline planning permission granted for up to 73 dwellings back in 2014-15 on the edge of the village of Sherburn, which itself is a service village designated in the local plan strategy. But then a short time after, we were then presented with a Section 73 application in 2016 where the developer tried to vary some of the conditions, and we agreed to some but not all. The main conditions that we didn't agree to were variations of the noise level conditions relating to internal room noise and garden noise because of the proximity of the A64 and wards on the opposite side of the road. And the applicant actually took that to appeal because they thought our standards were too high. But we were successful in defending that appeal, Chairman. So the noise levels relating to internal room noise and rear garden noise were kept to the high level that we wished to see in the original grant of the original outline planning permission. This reserve matters application comes on the back of the 2016 planning permission as described in the development, and in essence proposes the details for 73 units on the site. What it does do, and the reason that we've taken some time to get this to you, Chairman, it did raise some issues with regard to the detail of the affordable housing contribution. Not that the number that was being proposed was wrong, they were proposing the right amount, the right number, but we did have an issue with room sizes that was causing a problem because we were having difficulty finding a registered provider that would then potentially take the houses on at the end of the day. So the scheme that we've ended up with, Chairman, is a revised scheme which effectively, as you'll have seen from the plans which are on page, 244 onwards, the plans leading to that, Chairman, we end up with essentially what amounts to a barrier scheme. And the reason I describe it as a barrier scheme, page 227 gives you an indication, Chairman, there of the access is off the minor road, which is Skeddale Road, which I'll show you some photographs in a moment. And essentially, the access road goes round the site in a loop. And the key aspect is the northern elevation, Chairman, where that particular part of the site abuts the A64, which, as you can imagine, is quite a significant source of noise, but also close to Ward's factory on the opposite side of the road. The essence of the scheme, as has evolved, has essentially been with terraced forms adjacent to that boundary, with facing frontwards so that the rear gardens are in the noise shadow of the front elevation, and that at first floor, which is where the bedrooms, the sensitive rooms, are located, there are no bedrooms in those front elevations. They're all on the rear elevations, so that the internal room levels, noises within the room, are actually to that acceptable standard. And to achieve that, the applicant has actually come up with a special bespoke design to come up with a two-bed unit that's got both of its bedrooms on the back rather than one at the front and one at the back. It's been quite a challenge, but we've got there, and our environmental health officers are happy with that situation, Chairman. So that's an update. In addition, there were some additional comments and requirements from the Highway Authority with regard to designing the scheme to 20 mile an hour, which has now been achieved. The Highway Authority engineer also still points to the need for pedestrian connections to the village across Skeddale Road, but that's a requirement of the outline planning permission by way of a condition, so it's not that it's forgotten, Chairman, it's just a conditional requirement. So there are no further requirements. In terms of responses, we've had no comments from the Parish Council to the amended scheme, nor any further comments from third parties. So as amended, Chairman, we're happy to recommend the scheme to you. I think in particular, this has been a bit of a design challenge because of the noise issue in particular, but also the way that the access has to go around the site. And in terms of the main high street elevation, if members do turn to page 244, there's a street scene there which shows how the developer has come up with a street scene that's actually added interest to what otherwise could have been a fairly monotonous row of terraces by introducing into each group sort of gable detailings, which actually do add some interest in the actual appearance of the buildings. One could have envisaged a monotonous row of buildings which would have been quite unfortunate to look at right next to the A road on the entrance to the village. So we're quite pleased with the eventual design solution here. For those members who aren't necessarily totally familiar with the site, I've got one or two photographs. I'll apologise now that these photographs were taken yesterday in the rain, so they're a little bit dark. But this is the entrance to the site off Skeddale Road. So those of you who are familiar with this part of the district, this is the road coming from the Weaverthorpe direction towards the traffic lights on the A64 at the centre of the village. So the actual vehicular access is off the Minor County Road. And this is the view looking back the other way. So the entrance is into the site here, and you're then going up the hills into the Wolds and over towards Weaverthorpe if you carried on in that direction. This is a view from the corner next to the original farmhouse and looking to in the Scarborough direction. And as you can see, that sort of gives you an indication of how close this site is to the trunk road, Chairman, which is obviously a major source of noise. I mean, these sorts of vehicles are going up and down there all the time. And in addition, on the opposite side of the road, you've got the Wards factory, which is a substantial installation in its own right. This is a view just from the opposite side of the road, and the actual application site is in this area here. The boundary screening hedgerow is retained. And the actual level of the site is actually slightly lower than the level of the road. Behind this hedge is an acoustic fence, which is largely screened by the hedgerow. And then the loop road, the estate road, is behind that before you then get the front of the houses, which are behind that. So that's the way that the scheme will develop as a barrier to this quite substantial noise source. This is a view from the opposite side of the road to the site. So this is the 40 mile an hour speed limit sign here. The site actually is sort of from this point onwards, and although there's a slight gap in the hedgerow here, you can see that the site, even at this time of the year when leaves are starting to fall off the trees, is quite well screened from the main road. And the green area here is the site beyond, which, as I say, is at a slightly lower level. And this is just a bit further up towards the lights, again showing you the nature of the boundary screening, which is a little bit gappy at this time of the year, but again to give you an idea of the screening that exists on the site. And that's it, Chairman. I don't have any other updates. I'm more than happy to answer any questions. And I think we've got a speaker as well, Chairman.
We do have a speaker, Jenny Hanbridge. Is Jenny with us? If you'd like to come forward. And it's the large button at the bottom. You've got 3 minutes, and I will give you a prompt when you've got 30 seconds left.
Okay. Good evening, Chair and members. My name is Jenny Hambridge, and I'm here on behalf of the applicant for this reserve matters application on land at Manor Farm, Sherburn. The content of the officer's report pertaining to this application is welcomed and supported, and I would like to thank the council's officers for working with us through this application process. This reserve matters application to address the matters of appearance, landscaping, layout and scale was validated by the council on the 13th of March 2019 following the grant of outline planning permission on the 3rd of November 2015 and approval of the Section 73 application to vary conditions which was approved on the 21st of March 2016. Since submitting this reserve matters application for 73 dwellings, a number of revisions have been made to the scheme in order to address various consultation comments. The changes made have had regard to the following matters: affordable housing, noise, highways and landscaping. There have been no objections received from Sherburne Parish Council and one response has been received by a resident. However, the issues raised relate to the principle of development, traffic, traffic speeds, flooding and impact on local services. However, as stated by the officer within his report, these are all matters that were addressed at the outline application stage. There are no objections to this scheme from statutory consultees, including North Yorkshire County Council Highways, who have raised no objections to the recently submitted revised plans. The scheme delivers a total of 26 affordable dwellings. The size and tenure of these affordable units complies with the Section 106 agreement approved as part of the outline planning permission. It is hoped that members of the planning committee today can support the officer's recommendation and approve this reserve matters application. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'll open it up for questions. Councillor Potter.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Just a minor point. Under the consultations of flood risk, it says recommends refusal, so I presume that's something that's been sorted out since.
That has been resolved with the lead local flood authority.
Councillor Andrews.
Just looking at the plan, Chair, not very clear with the one from the one I got. Presumably, there is access from two corners of the site, isn't there? There's one from the south.
Sorry, Councillor Andrews, can you move your microphone? That's close.
Yeah, one from the southwest. And one from the southeast, and one from the west. And I was just looking at it from the point of view of ensuring there's an emergency access.
Chairman, the only vehicular access is from Skeddale Road. Right. There is a pedestrian link, I think, off towards where the bus stop would go. And at that part of the site, there's also an attenuation basin, but the access point, which was specified at the outline, is at the southwestern end.
Is there a space somewhere for emergency vehicles to get onto the site other than the main entrance to the site?
There's no requirement for it, and it hasn't been shown, Chairman. The access has already got permission. The reserve matters that we're dealing with are the other details.
Right, okay.
Do members have any other questions? No. On that basis, we'll move into debate, but we have no local member, so I'm happy to throw it. Councillor McKenzie.
Thank you, Chair. I usually seem to get Sherburne. So I've had a good look at this one. I think the applicant has gone to great lengths to meet all the requests that have been made of him, and I'm happy to move that we support the officer's recommendation that we grant permission for this. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McKenzie. Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. I was really delighted when this came forward because I do think that there's a really big need in Sherburne for some homes to be built there. I think that we've probably got a really good outcome, and I think our officers have worked hard regarding this. So I just think it's a win-win situation for all, and I'm happy to second that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Burr. Just from the Chair, I think the row of houses which are on, that will front the A64 I think the fact that we've got such a it's a really good design for those the units, and I think they'll be very valuable affordable housing. So I'm very happy to support my colleagues in there moving and seconding. So on the basis that it's been moved and seconded for approval, can we please go to the vote? Thank you. Thank you, members. That's unanimous. It is approved. Moving on to item 9, members, it's on page 314 of your agenda, application 19/00781. It's another reserved matters of a major application, and I think it's Mr. Housden again.
Thank you, Chairman. I would just draw members' attention to the full report that's on the late pages. On pages 3 to 7 of the late pages, Chairman. The reason being for that was that at the time that the report was produced for the main agenda papers, we were still really in the midst of a reconsultation primarily with the technical bodies, most notably the drainage and highway authorities, and that really at that point left us needing to make a late page recommendation. Having said that, we now... the consultation period's all expired, and we now really have everything back from everybody who we had consulted. And the news in that sense is a green flag in terms of the drainage details, and both from both the Yorkshire Water, the Environment Agency, the Lead Local Flood Authority, and the Internal Drainage Board, which obviously is a significant issue in Old Moulton. On the general subject of drainage and surface water issues. The only clarification I think we sought from the IDB and also from the LLFA was the maintenance arrangements for the attenuation facility that's on site, which is a maintenance company, and I think there was a slight concern, well, what happened if that company went under? Well, it would be another company or even a residence arrangement that will be conveyed as part of the development. The Highway Authority equally have no objections, but I think wanted confirmation of details of the estate railing around that area, and we've had a further plan to confirm that. The big issue really was before us from within the team was in relation to the character and appearance of the dwellings that were being proposed as originally submitted. And I think originally, as members will have seen from the agenda papers, that the Town Council had also raised objections initially in relation to the layout and the scale of some of the buildings, which I think we both felt were a divergence from the original scheme, which was approved, the detailed scheme, back in 2017. However, what we have managed to successfully negotiate is something which we're now happy to recommend to you, Chairman. And I've got some illustrations on the presentation in a moment. What I thought would be helpful for members to look at, however, on the submitted pages, or on page 327 onwards, so if members have the opportunity to just flick forward to those pages. And hopefully, if you can just home in on that page, Chairman, what you have there is the layout, which is oriented north-south, with the north being the entrance onto Westgate. And the northern part, this site was very much even at the time of the outline planning permission and the reserve matters seen as almost two parts of a site. There was the part that was formerly occupied by the County Council's Highways Depot, which obviously was a sort of commercial industrial use almost, the redundant farm buildings, which were on the eastern side of that northern half of the site. And then the southern half was what I would have described as a paddock, and that was the bit that was obviously more open and abutted the boundary with the cemetery further to the south. But we essentially in 2015 granted outline planning permission around an illustrative layout very similar to what we have before us, and a reserve matters approval in detail, which is referred to in the report, which sort the site in two different parts, the northern part being more of a village street with linked lower profile buildings, opening out in something into something which was a slightly looser format. And as originally submitted with this current application, that we felt that we'd lost the feel of the low linked buildings, particularly as they were entering onto Westgate. And that led to a situation where we had probably at least two or three negotiated meetings, Chairman, making progress, but still not making progress to the point where we got the current plans. And I think you can see on this plan here, Chairman, that on that northern part of the site, we've reverted back to the scheme, or the thrust of the scheme that was approved back at both in outline and the original reserve matters stage. To give you an indication of the linked units and what they actually look like in more detail, if members are able to quickly move forward to page 373. I do apologise, Chairman, there are a lot of plans with this application, but if you're able to just go through to that. You get a feel on page 373, 374, which has got the floor plans, and 375, how those units have achieved successful sort of feeling of cottage spans, and so with that reduced span has reduced the eaves and the apex heights down, so they have this sort of more aesthetic feel for the conservation area. These are the plans that we've recently reconsulted on locally, and I'm happy to say that the Town Council are now happy with the design approach, and whilst I think concerns are still raised about traffic and the like, then clearly the design approach is now one that we're happy, the Town Council is happy to support. The Conservation Officer is delighted with the end result. I think it's been a long road to get there, Chairman, but we've got to where we think we need to. The only other updates, Chairman, that I do need to report, and again I need to probably revert you back to page 314, Chairman. Maybe not quite all the way back to 314, but sorry. Not 314. 327, Chairman. On the layout plan, what you see, and I'll show you photographs in a moment. What you see on the western side of the L shape that's before you are the outline of the profiles of the nearest buildings on Westfold. And the reason I'm drawing attention to that is that we have had two letters in from objectors from the same property, number 3 Westfold, raising concerns about overlooking impacts on visual amenity, traffic, road access issues, noise, loss of trees, layout design, and nature conservation issues. In particular, one of the letters refers to plots 27, 28, and 30, which are in the corner there, as overlooking, or unacceptably overlooking, Chairman, the adjacent properties, and also makes reference to plot 31-2. What they do suggest, because as you'll see from this layout, that plots 25 and 26, which are to the south of Westfold, directly to the south of Westfold, are single-storey units. They always were single-storey units in that location, Chairman, because of the physical proximity of Westfold to that part of the site. But the back-to-back distances were down to below 15 metres, so that's why they were single-storey units, as opposed to the back-to-back distances on the other plots, which are well in excess of industry norms. I mean, some of them are nearly 28 metres back-to-back. And that's partly been achieved by bringing the plots forward onto the plot to enlarge the length of the rear gardens. Given what we've previously approved, Chairman, I think to object to this on privacy grounds, given the distances involved, I think would be unreasonable and very difficult to justify. But that's the only other updates, Chairman. I'm going to just refer to some photographs now. And this is a view taken on the western end of Westgate. So this is past the entrance to the site, looking back down Westgate towards the main village street in Old Moulton in the distance there. So at the end of this street is the Wentworth Arms. And you get a feel for, although there's a mix and match of building types, there's brick, there's stone, there's painted brick render, you get a feel for the fact that there's a degree of linkage. You know, the buildings feel linked together more in this part of the village than elsewhere. And on this side, just in this area here, is the actual turn into Westfold. It's a very, very narrow entrance. And beyond it is the start of the site. So this area here is the site. And behind that is where the County Council depot previously existed. This is the turn into Westfold here. And as you can see, there is a remaining single-storey... Well, originally it would have been a stone and pantile building that was longer than it is now. My theory is that this building was partially demolished to make way for the entrance to Westfold. It's an engineering brick wall that is obviously a lot later than the original structure. But again, you can see how close these are to the edge of the footway. The current scheme involves rebuilding this building, but actually setting it back slightly from the junction to improve visibility back out of Westfold. Which I think is a benefit of the scheme to the residents of Westfold. So this is looking into that area. Although it's a little bit dark, you can get a feel for how this is obviously a later alteration to that building. And beyond it, you can now see into the site. From this distance, you're actually looking across the depot, across the paddock, towards the tall trees which are on the cemetery driveway. They're on the southern end of the site, and these are all retained as part of the scheme. The nearest dwellings are around about 15 metres away from those trees to give an adequate sort of livability for future residents. Panning round, this is just a little bit into Westgate. You can see the first of the Westgate properties. So their gardens are fairly short, but then the gardens of the properties that are proposed nearest to the backs of these are around about 15, 16 metres long. So they're quite long. The spacings between the buildings is quite significant. This is looking back at that building that I was showing you on the street frontage. As you can see, it's sort of a typical cart shed opening, and this would be demolished to about this point here, but then rebuilt all in stone. That's just a look back across towards some of the other existing buildings on the site now, which is in the process of being cleared and decontaminated. This is to demonstrate the point I was just making earlier. At the moment, the vision back down the road is pretty limited in that direction. I mean, it's not the busiest road in Rydale, but nevertheless, the vision display is quite limited. And so by this gable point here is moved further back, it actually improves the position. This is moving along the site frontage, and when you look at the layout, this is where the first of the dwellings that would front onto Westgate would front. So this section of wall, but this whole section of conifer hedgerow, which is somewhat overgrown, would be removed. And this is the entrance into the historical entrance into the depot site. This is looking back from the other way. This is the original farmhouse, which is just to the east of the application site. And this building, which is partly being demolished, but it's deconstructed, it's being removed very carefully, is again a building that's actually rebuilt as part of the scheme and becomes the garaging for plot one. The entrance to the site then is becoming into the site in roughly in this area here. So if you can picture that green space here, I'll show you an artist's impression at the moment. Well, I think it's a computer generated impression in a moment, which shows you, if you can visualize that, how the new development will appear. So this is a view across the depot entrance towards the backs of the properties on Westfold. I've included some photographs from further to the west of the site. This is the footway that runs from Westgate back to where the Camp Hill Trust premises are near the school. So this public footpath goes all the way behind the back of properties in Westfold, and this is the eastern boundary of the site, just in that area there behind these. This is a view back the other way from behind the cemetery wall. So this is the same footway but going back in the opposite direction. And this planting and this planting here is mainly in the cemetery. But when I pan across, again, you see the large trees that are actually on the application site. So it's sort of, you get views of the back of this. So you'll see the profile of some of the roof lines in this area here. And then this last photograph I'm showing you is the entrance up to the cemetery, but from the main village street. The Royal Oak is just off picture here. There's a cottage between the Royal Oak and that little footway. The reason I'm showing you that is that there is actually a pedestrian link from the estate road down into here to make it a bit more permeable into the village and into Malton itself. The next ones are the images I referred to. You know, they've come out very, very pale. That's the green space I was showing you in Westgate. So this is the building that was partly demolished that's to be rebuilt. And this is the first unit, and the entrance to the site is in this area here. So again, you get a feeling of how the buildings are linking together at this end of the site to give it the feeling of a village street. Whereas this view here is taken down in the depths of the site next to the open space area. So this is looking from the east across the open space, and you can see it's got a slightly more open feel around that. Well, I nearly said village green, but it actually does have an attenuating function in times of high water. But so that's the design approach, Chairman. As I say, we've now got to the point where we're happy to recommend approval to this scheme, Chairman. We think it's back to where we wanted it. I'm aware, I think there is a speaker as well, Chairman.
Yes, the speaker is Mr. Peter Hopkins, if you'd like to come forward, take a seat, sir. It's the large button at the bottom. You've 3 minutes to make your presentation, and I will give you a prompt when there's 30 seconds to go. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. It is important to take into consideration that this site already benefits from a lawfully implemented planning consent for 39 houses, which was submitted by a previous owner. As the permission has been lawfully implemented, it is established that there will be housing on this site. The previously approved scheme was not marketable. As you will see on the approved layout plan provided by Mr. Housden, several dwellings did not have any considerable garden space. The Reserve Matters application before you is providing more two-bed houses and has a much improved layout for private access, private parking and garden space per dwelling. The development would form an enhancement to the character and appearance of the Old Malton Conservation Area by replacing a former highway depot site with traditional housing of a scale which matches the Westgate character and also uses local vernacular facing materials. The applicant has worked extensively with council officers since this application was first submitted to achieve a design and layout which would meet adopted local planning policy to form a positive contribution to the character and appearance of the area. The proposed plans have been amended twice to address Conservation Officer comments. Indeed, upon the receipt of the most recent set of amended plans, the Conservation Officer has no objection and therefore considers that the scheme would preserve and enhance the character and appearance of the Old Malton Conservation Area. The applicant also notes that the Town Council no longer has any objections on design grounds. The Strategic Housing Market Assessment published for Rydale in 2016 concludes that there is a further need for 2 and 3 bed houses, both market and affordable. This application would provide 10 two-bed houses, 4 of which would be affordable. The scheme would also provide 5 3-bed houses. Accordingly, the Planning Officer has concluded in their report that the overall mix and density of proposed housing is appropriate for the location. If the proposed scheme is built out, the agreed planning obligations from the outline consent in 2014 would be payable. This would secure funds for local education, local highway improvements and public open space. As Mr. Housden explained earlier, all matters on drainage have now been resolved with the IDB and LLFA. By approving this application, you would be ensuring that an allocated housing site is brought forward for delivery. This is important to Rydale's new housing supply and will ensure that the council can work towards meeting the national requirements of the housing delivery test. The applicant commends the update to the officer's committee report, which makes a recommendation for approval, and respectfully requests that you grant this scheme planning permission. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll open it up for questions, and there's a flurry of hands. So, Councillor Potter, Councillor Burr, and Councillor Andrews in that order. So, Councillor Potter first, please.
Thank you, Chair. I've got a couple here. Looking at page 5 of the late pages, and I know this has been covered, but you'll appreciate my concerns around flood risk in Old Moulton. But as it says, comments of the LLFA and IDB are still awaited at the time of writing this report. I'm assuming that even since the late pages, that's been sorted out.
Oh, I've had nearly half a day to get those together, Chairman. Yes, we have them in writing today. Yes.
Right, thank you. Yeah, I'm pleased to hear that. On the same page, page 5, impact on trees, and it says protection areas for the trees to ensure that no work or storage of materials occurs within close proximity of the trees. Do you have a definition of that sort of distance?
Well, actually, there is a tree protection plan. Which shows the, where the fencing goes around the trees. So it's a specified plan that is, the marked position is on it.
Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. Could you, Gary, just confirm that obviously it's disappointing when residents feel that they may be overlooked, and we have to take this seriously. But I think you mentioned that we were well within the guidelines, and I just would like you to reiterate that for my own peace of mind. I think that there's an acceptable distance, and I think that you said that we are over those guidelines.
Yeah, on page 5 of the late pages, there's a reference to some of the sort of typical back-to-back distances of between 29 and 30 metres, depending on which unit you take. Some of them are around 26 to 27 metres. I mean, the industry norms are anywhere between 20 to 22 metres, so they're well in excess of normal standards. It was an issue we wrestled with the original reserve matters submission, and indeed the outline planning permission had an illustrative layout, but on the southern side of Westfold, and the site tapers at that point, the back-to-back distances were less than 15 metres. So at that point, where you've got first floor next to first floor in that close proximity, there is just an overbearing nature that we felt at that point we shouldn't be going with. So on plots 25 and 26, as before, those are single-storey units, and that remains the case. I think the other elements are such that I couldn't say to you now that if I was 30 metres away from the back of a two-storey dwelling, I wouldn't be aware of it, but the distances are such that, they're very, very similar, if not virtually identical, to what we've previously approved and considered to be acceptable for the site. So I think we've sort of done our job and probably exceeded what normally would be the requirement.
Councillor Andrews.
Coming back to flooding, first of all, just to get this clear, the site is actually in two areas, isn't it? The first one is the main area is where the county depot used to be, and then you've added onto that area. There is part of a field, part of a green field.
The site is pretty much three former uses. On the north western part of the site was the depot. Next to that was the former farm and the modern farm buildings, as well as the traditional buildings that you've seen there. They've all been removed. And then roughly halfway down the site, there was a gateway into the paddock, as we'd call it, and that paddock is the L shape on the southern half of the site, which is in between what you'd formally regard as a previously used part of the site, in between those boundaries and the cemetery. So it was a paddock. It was an open paddock is the way I would have described it.
Well, my recollection is that in the previous planning application, there was some sort of extensive sort of foundations to actually raise the building above the level of the ground so as to protect it from flooding. Because as I recall, this was an area where it's sort of a round bowl sort of situation where water could come in from all directions and where you got a lot of flooding in that particular field, or if you say call it a paddock. Is that correct?
I think it's fair to say that some of the issues with Old Moulton have been around surface water. You know, for water coming off fields unrestricted, unattenuated by anything, as opposed to when you get a development whereby surface water can be captured and controlled in certain ways, be it oversized pipes or, you know, attenuation basins. I hope that gives you an indication of what is proposed in this part of the site, because beyond the back of those houses is where the big trees are, and that's where sometimes in the past that the surface water has come down off the fields which are further beyond the site. On occasions that will be an attenuation basin.
The question was in the previous application or in the previous permission that was granted, weren't the houses actually raised up above the level of the ground around it so as to overcome, so as to avoid them being flooded?
I think this was all details in the condition discharges on the original outline planning permission, the reserve matters, but I think there is a minimum floor level of the houses, not the curtilages. Do you see what I mean? So the floor level will be there, but the curtilages aren't as raised up as the houses are.
If there are no other questions... Oh, Councillor Potter.
Could I just ask another quickie? The attenuation basin, as it appears there, is that merely a soakaway, or has it actually got a proper outflow on it? Right.
Ordinarily, in the main course of events, that is a dry facility. So it's not... We're at great pains to make sure it wasn't going to be a muddy puddle, if you know what I mean, because we've seen that potentially happen before.
Yeah, because I remember reading the IDB original concerns, whether it was going to be dry or empty and all that sort of thing. So, yeah.
As a result of the further information that they responded to today, they're happy with the levels of that facility. I think they were worried that it might be a maintenance problem long term and things of that ilk, but I think the sheer amount of information that's been put into surface water drainage issues relating to this site has satisfied both the LLFA and the IDB, and they're not easy people to satisfy.
Councillor Graham.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm just a little bit concerned. Westgate Lane strikes me as being quite narrow, and there is a lot of on-street parking there. I'm just wondering how, during the construction time, that's going to impact on access there.
The answer to that is it shouldn't, because there's a construction management plan that gets everything into the site rather than hanging around outside of the site. In fact, Westgate Lane is actually slightly wider than you'd think. It's not particularly well surface road, but even with cars parked both sides, you can comfortably get down, I would suggest, even with a delivery wagon. But as part of the discharge of the conditions for the early reserve matters approval, there was a construction environment management plan which has been discharged, and that identifies areas where materials are stored and topsoils kept and all those sorts of things, and it's all on site, so it shouldn't really be giving us a situation where there are on-road problems in Westgate, and as that's now seemingly principally used by the Rainbow Equine people, they seem to come that way now into that facility which is further down. you know, that was one of the reasons, I guess, why the Highway Authority was keen on having the management plan. But I'm not aware of there being any particular issues. It's a wider highway than it looks, really.
Any further questions from members? Nope. I'm going to pass it over to the local member, and I think that's Councillor Burr and Councillor Andrews.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Remember this outline application coming forward in 2015, and there were concerns, and we did go on a very thorough site visit, and we viewed the proposed development from various areas, and we took into consideration all the sensitive nature regarding this application. There's no doubt that it was a sensitive application and there were issues, and it's good to hear, and it's good that members have pointed out about the flooding, and it's good to hear from our officers that those flooding issues have been resolved. It was quite a difficult application because part of it was in the conservation area, so we had to be mindful about that. And I do think that a lot of time and effort has gone into this regarding some members' concerns and residents' concerns and Moulton Town Council's concerns. And I think a very, very good outcome has happened. In fact, I think, and it was discussed at Moulton Town Council, that we probably think that this is better than expected from the first application that obviously we were told wasn't viable and couldn't be built out, so then we had to relook at it and relook at it and relook at it. So I think that from quite a sensitive site, we've got something that is acceptable, and we are happy about that. Moulton Town Council discussed it at length a week ago, and they said that considerable time and effort and improvements had been made to make it fit into the character of Old Moulton. And I think that really thinking back to 2015, when we had North York County Council depot there with a conservation site next to it, it was appalling in Old Moulton. So this can only be something much, much better and welcomed for Old Moulton now we've got everything ironed out. I know that it's taken a long, long time, but I do think that we've got to a really good end. And again, I thank Dutchie Homes for their persistence, and I thank our officers because I know that they've had to relook at it, and come to a good conclusion. So I would like, on behalf of Moulton Town Council and myself, I would like to move approval.
Councillor Andrews.
I'm afraid, Chairman, I still have concerns. I've seen the sites not recently, but I have seen it. Basically, I have absolutely no problem with the area which was part of the actual depot itself. It's the other areas that concern me. And I've seen the nature of the site, the way it slopes down, and where the water can be carried down. I know that water can be carried away by drains and things, but the more concrete surface you put on the land, the more the drainage, the more the water. And that has been acknowledged by the fact that the level of the houses is actually, the floor of the house is actually raised, as the planning officer said, above the level of the ground. Above the level of the curtilage, and I'm afraid I'm not happy about this at all. Even though I know this committee is obliged to grant permission because it has a previous planning permission, and I appreciate the efforts that have been made to try and sort something out, but in the circumstances, I don't think I can support it.
Councillor Cleary.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Yes, I do appreciate Councillor Andrews' concerns, but I think they are concerns, very definite concerns, but I think they've been dealt with. and so I will therefore second the proposal to approve these reserved matters. Don't forget they are reserved matters. I think the particular concerns about flooding have been, you know, have been targeted, I think, and certainly looking at the plans, particularly on page 429, I think that sort of answers the particular questions on that problem, or potential problem. So I second this approval. Second this application.
Members, it has been moved and seconded for approval. If we can please vote on this issue. Thank you, members. That's 8 votes for and 1 against. It is approved. Members, agenda item 10 on page 430 is application number 19/01015 Major Full. It is the erection of a potato storage building at Low Mowthorpe Farm, Low Mowthorpe, Duggleby, Malton. And I think it's Neve. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Low Mowthorpe Farm is an established farmstead from which Alban Wise Limited operate their agricultural operations, which total over 6,100 acres. The site itself is situated to the south of the road between Duggleby to the west and Kirby Grindleith to the east. It's located outside of development limits within the wider open countryside and is situated within an area of high landscape value. The Gypsy Race flows through the site from west to east, and subsequently a section of the access falls within flood zone 3. A public right of way and a bridle way run to the west of the site, and you can see that better on this plan. The topography of the site ensures that the farm buildings are located within a valley, reducing their overall prominence. This application seeks permission for the erection of a potato storage building following the removal of an existing potato storage building, and that is this section of four buildings just here. The building has come before members because it constitutes a major application due to the size of the proposed building. So it is before members for their consideration. The replacement building is located in the footprint of the existing building and would measure 55 metres by 36 metres in footprint, with a pitch roof form incorporating an eaves height of 9 metres and a ridge height of approximately 12.2 metres. The overall footprint of 1,962 square metres is an increase beyond the existing building of approximately 39% and does incorporate higher roof levels. However, it's not considered that it would result in any harm upon the character of the area of high landscape value, because as you can see from these photographs, it is very well gripped within the existing farmstead. As part of this application, the applicant's agent has confirmed that they are willing to ensure that the roof and side materials for the buildings are anthracite grey, and that helps it really blend in better with from wider views. And as you can see, there are a range of different materials already present, so it is considered to be an improvement upon what's already there. As this is an existing and established farm, the principle of a new building to replace existing buildings to support the agricultural activity is considered acceptable in policy terms. It was noted within the report, but within this site, the potatoes grown from the 780 acres of seed potatoes in the ownership of the site are graded. Currently, due to a lack of storage in the site, unnecessary double journeys are being made to alternative locations. Therefore, it's considered that the potential to reduce unnecessary journeys is also considered beneficial. So for those reasons, subject to condition, we are recommending this application for approval. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Niamh. I'll open it up for questions from members. Okay, we'll move into debate. There is no local member for this item, so I'm happy if anyone wants to pick this up. Councillor Andrews.
Second it.
Members, it's been moved and seconded for approval. If we can go to the vote, please. Thank you, members. That's unanimous. Thank you, members. Moving on to item agenda item 11, application number 19/01060. This is major non-compliance conditions. That's land at Whitby Road, Pickering. And I think it's Mr. Housden again.
Yes, Chairman. Members will be very familiar with this site as it's previously had full planning permission for 239 dwelling units on the site, and that was originally in 2017, or it was 2018, Chairman, by the time we issued the planning permission. And more recently we dealt with a Section 73 application, which was a minor revision to retain the existing farmhouse, if you remember, on the site. This further Section 73 application has been submitted by the developer wishing to change roof designs on 30, that's 30, of the 239 plots. What I've got on the screen is a copy of the layout plan, just so I can home in on the plots which are the subject of the proposed change, because although it's you can detect them on the layout plan, they're at very small scale on the agenda papers, Chairman. And although that's not a particularly clear copy of the plan, the units that are proposed to be varied to hip roof designs, as opposed to plain gable designs, are on these plots here, Chairman, and then these plots here. And then on the southern boundary of the site, which members will recall when we did the site visit, Chairman, that was where it was the lowest end of the site, there are bungalows on these plots here and on these plots here, which were proposed to change from a plain gable design to the hip roof design. The reason for that is essentially one of a design choice by the developer, but also they, I think one of the drivers, Chairman, was that there's less bricklaying involved in a hip roof design than there is in a plain gable design. Once upon a time, it was the cost of timber in the roof structures that led to plain gable designs. It feels as though we've come full circle. But that, whatever the reason, Chairman, we're now looking at the designs which are shown on the agenda papers on pages 4, 5, 1 onwards. And if you can picture all of these designs previously were with a plain gable roof form. So from page 4, 5, 1 onwards, 4, 5, 2 actually is on because they propose to change the facing material from brick to stone. And then 4, 5, 3 onwards. The comments that we've had come in, Chairman, primarily relate to the change to the bungalow designs on the southern plots. We have had 9 letters expressing some concerns that would the change in the design lead to a greater pressure or likelihood that the roof spaces might be used for future accommodation. In essence, that isn't the case, and I'll read out the developer's response in a moment, because actually the roof void has become smaller than it previously was with the plain gable roof form. But in any event, the heights of them are no different. The officer report does make reference to the developer's response. And if I can quickly read it out to you, Chairman, it's the full response. I think probably in hindsight I should have copied the letter, but it's in response to the comments that had been received, which weren't all out-and-out objections. Some of them were more clarification. But this is a letter from Mr. Lerums, the development manager for Barratts. Dear Mr. Housden, we write to respond to the objections received in relation to the above submission to introduce hip roofs on the plots fronting the central green space and the bungalows along the southern boundary. We can confirm that the ridge heights to the new hip roofs will remain as previously approved, and there will be no increase in height to either the central houses or bungalows along the southern boundary. It should be recognised that the introduction of hip roof greatly reduces the volume of space available in a roof, and therefore clearly less provision is available to create any additional accommodation within the roof space. Further, and as pointed out in one of the letters highlighting some concerns, modern truss rafter designs incorporate so much timber that the entire roof would need to be completely removed and replaced with a traditional purlin and rafter construction. So that's essentially a rafter construction with a void in the middle of it. So that's the developer's response, Chairman. And I think having clarified those points about no increase in height and the reduced volume to work in, we think that the concerns about amenity issues are not founded. From a design point of view, Chairman, I can show you some photographs in a moment of the periphery of the site, but there is a complete mix of hips and gables around the site. So I think to introduce some gables, hips into this gable site is, in principle, not an issue. Commenced on the site, and members, remember we had quite a lot, those are probably before the new council chairman, but this was looking down to the southeast corner, and as you can see, there's a bungalow, you're going downhill at this point, Chairman, there's a bungalow which is sideways on, and then some bungalows which were gable on to the site with their garaging to the rear. And that's that bungalow I was just pointing to, plus the garages. And in the distance, you can see Whitby Road. Well, again, you've got properties here with hip roofs and gable roofs. There's a complete mix and match, Chairman. This was a view further across towards the Whitby Road. As you appreciate, in the middle of the site, there's quite a deep valley. And that area is devoid of development on the layout plans, as you'll have seen. And again, switching back from two-storey dwellings to bungalows in this area here, again, at a lower level than the site, you can see, again, a combination of plane forms and hip forms. This is another view into that corner. And again, you've got a hip form here, hip form there, or hip and a gable form there in the same one. So in the locality, there is a mix and match of styles. I think on balance, we're happy with what's been proposed as part of this scheme. As I say, it's 30 out of 240. It's about 1 in 8 of the plots on the site.
Thank you very much. I'll open it up for questions. Councillor Potter.
Thank you, Chair. Just by way of information, if anybody did want to convert their loft into a room, would that be covered under PD, or would they need planning permission?
It depends. It depends on what they're proposing. I mean, to a large extent, anything that's capable within a void, probably 9 times out of 10 would be permitted development. And indeed, there are permitted development rights for dormer windows in roofs and things of that nature. I'm looking to my left now because Nee probably knows more about the nitty-gritty of PD in roof spaces than I do. But there are permitted development rights that would exist. The issue here is whether the cost of and trouble of doing it is worth doing it to a design which, from what we gather, is constructed with so much preformed timber that to actually give effect to a space, you'd end up having to rebuild the roof.
If there are no other questions, I will hand it over to the local member, which is yourself, Councillor Potter.
Thank you, Chair. I notice, as I did on the previous one for this, that it on page 443 we have a reference to Corbin Way. So are we allowed the same mistake again while we're in Purdah? And if we're not quite into Purdah, is it just purgatory?
I think it's a different spelling, Chairman.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the matter in hand. I can't see any significant changes overall in this. And as the roof heights are staying the same, there appears to be very little impact other than David Wilson Holmes saving a bit of cash on the brickwork. So, yes, I will move the approval. Thank you.
Councillor Cleary, sorry.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Yes, I'm very happy to second this. By way of information as well, I'm sure we've all read the reports and we've spotted the deliberate mistake on page 444, which refers to gabled rules. I think it, I'm sure it refer, it should be gabled roofs. Just by way of more information, I think brickwork is less sustainable than timber and tile. So I think I don't think it's in this particular area, but certainly in other areas there are wind load problems with gable ends. But I think also less brickwork is less quarrying. A point of information and opinion, but I'm very happy to support my friend across the way to second this this application.
Councillor Burr?
Yes, support everything that's been said, but I think that if we hadn't have moved to approval and it been second, that we'd have been unreasonable. So I think that we should move forward with it.
Sir Andrews, are you indicating?
Yes, Chair.
Thank you.
I just point out, Chair, that this is a development which was granted in outline with a single access for 240 houses thereabouts onto a main road. I know this has got nothing to do with this application, and I shall have to support this application. But really, I'm very unhappy with the site.
Councillor Andrews, just for clarification, it has been granted permission in full. It's not a reserve matter.
Yes, I did understand that, Chair.
Members, it's been moved and seconded for approval. Please, can we take the vote? Thank you, members. That's unanimous. Thank you, members. If we can move on to item 12, which is on page, I think it's 455. It is application number 19/00252 full. It is a change of use for the highways depot at Manor Vale Lane, Kirby Moorside. And I think it's Jill. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chairman. Yes, just continuing the highway depot theme this evening. This is the disused NYCC highway depot at Manor Vale and Kirby Moorside, and I think some members will be aware that there's been quite a recent history, a planning history on this site, trying really to secure appropriate reuse of the site since the lawful use, the previous highway depot use, ceased a number of years ago. This is the first of two current applications for the site. They are both similar in that they propose the reuse of existing buildings and structures on the site, although they are different in terms of the combinations of uses proposed. This first application proposes a combination of B1 office use, B2 space in the form of a garage and mechanics workshops, and B8 storage space on existing buildings. I will show you some photographs. There have been some changes from the photographs between the photographs taken recently and the submitted existing plan drawings. Some of the buildings, two of the buildings that were proposed for demolition have already been demolished. They've been very heavily vandalised, and a number of the porter cabin and containers have already been removed from the site. It is a very constrained site, particularly in terms of its access and its close proximity to residential properties on Manor Vale in particular, but also Manor Gardens,
to the west and properties to the rear of Castlegate to the east. And they are key factors in considering proposals for the reuse of the site, and in particular the uses proposed in this scheme. So I'll just run through some photographs of the site. So that's just taken having entered Manor Vale and past the residential properties. This is the site on that we're looking at here, the former depot site. That is the Kirby Moorside Band Hall. Some members will be aware that for previous applications, the Band Hall have objected to proposed uses. They're not objecting to this application. That's just looking back across the bottom end of the site towards the bottom end of the southern end of Manor Vale. So these are some of the buildings that are proposed for reuse. And under this application, this building here will be for storage use. This little building here would be office use. This building here would be office use. And then these three buildings here would be the B2 garage mechanic uses. These porter cabin type buildings and containers would be removed. That's the sort of southern end of the site. There is a northern bit to it, which is on a raised platform. There was previously a building here and a building here, which were very, very, very heavily vandalised, and they've been removed from the site. And there is a building here, which again is proposed for storage use. That's just looking back down the site. The actual application area, the depot site, the former depot site, continues up to here, but the application area just stops at the other side of this little porter cabin. This porter cabin is proposed to be removed from its current position there and placed on the raised platform. Similarly, the land on this side of Manor Vale Lane is not within the application area. That's just a close-up picture of that storage building that's on the raised platform. They're the three buildings that under this application would be proposed for the garage mechanic use. And that's looking back further up the site, the raised platform. That's the little porter cabin building that will be relocated to this position. That's just a view up towards the golf course, so north out of the site up towards the golf course. And that's the almost the southern limits of the site, looking back at what is effectively the band hall, a little bit of car parking area for the band hall, and residential properties that are, I think, the closest proximity to the site. That's a view again along the southern part of Manor Vale Lane. And some of the residential properties there. And that's looking back up towards the site from the far end of Manor Vale Lane. And that's the site there. You can just see it. This is just looking from Dale End into the entrance to Manor Vale Lane. And that's just another view of the entrance into Manor Vale Lane from Dale End. Chairman, the application isn't supported by any information at all, really, that provides us with an indication of whether acceptable noise levels can be achieved on the site. That is an issue, given that there are, in particular in relation to the proposed B2 uses and a garage workshop, mechanics workshop. And I think that is a key reason why we've recommended refusal. I mean, we just cannot be sure that acceptable noise levels can be achieved, particularly given the proximity of nearby residential dwellings. When the application was first consulted on, the local highways authority did recommend refusal for the application. We've had a lot of communication with the applicant's agent about whether or not the issue of highways and vehicle movements can be addressed as part of the application. And in some ways we have made some progress with that. The applicant has confirmed that he's happy to restrict by condition the weight of any operational fleet that users of the site would have. And he's also happy that the B8 use on the site can be effectively named as an antique storage dealer. That takes us so far, but I think we've talked in more detail with the local highways authority about it. Although that takes us so far, it still doesn't address the issue of the traffic that could be associated with the B2 use. As a garage use, there could be recovery vehicles coming to the site, not to mention a number of types of vehicles that just come to use that use effectively. So the local highways authority has confirmed today actually that its position hasn't changed and it recommends refusal. Therefore, Chairman, recommendation is one of refusal for the reason outlined in the report and following the confirmation of the updated position from NYC Highways that an additional highways reason for refusal is included. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Jill. I will open it up for questions.
Jill, can you confirm that this site is constrained physically because it's at the bottom of a cutting? Because I don't think that was quite clear from the photographs, and that also because it's at the bottom of the cutting, then there will be a concentration of sound, which would go upwards.
That's right. It is in a cutting, and I'm sorry you can see that from the photographs. I've tried to articulate it in the report. It is quite a steep cutting, one of the vales that do come down from the moors towards Kirby Moors side. So yes, there is the potential that sound could be echoed, accentuated, concentrated from any activity that's in that position. As I say, we're particularly concerned about B2 uses and a garage use, mechanics use in particular, generating sound. And at the minute, there is no information that indicates that sound can be mitigated to an acceptable level.
Could I ask also, Is the scout hut up that road?
Yes, I think it's the band hall and the scout hut. They are part of that building that is on the western side. So he's just flicking back through. Yeah. So it's effectively a new section of band hall building, and the scouts, I think they share that building.
Could I ask, you know, because it's a very untidy site.
Mm-hmm.
What could it be used for?
Well, there is another application. The second application for the site is the next item on the agenda, and the combination of uses proposed there, I think, is slightly different. It is an untidy site, but I think what we're seeing now through the photographs, that is actually an improvement to how it's been recently. Some of the very dilapidated vandalised buildings have been removed. So I think there is scope to improve it further by removing some of those other temporary portable structures. But I think it has what we're seeing now is an improvement on how it's looked in recent history.
Could it be used for housing?
No. That's a bit of a difficult one for officers, Chairman, as we recommended approval to a scheme not so long ago which members refused and an appeal was dismissed on. There seems to be a fairly consistent message from the planning inspectorate that residential use on the site has not been acceptable.
Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. Jill, you mentioned that you hadn't got any acceptable noise level or noise report. Is that because you've asked for them and they haven't been submitted to you? Or is it for some other reason that we just haven't been able to get those reports?
When the application was first received, our environmental health officers were consulted on it, and they raised the issue that there was no noise modelling information. So clearly we went back to the applicant's agent and asked if that could be provided, and they confirmed that they weren't going to provide any further information.
Any further questions? I will open it up for debate, and I will pass it over to Councillor Windrus, who I believe is the nearest local member.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Yeah, in light of the fact that Highways have recommended refusal and the fact that, again, the noise, I will move officer recommendation on this one. Thank you.
Councillor McKenzie.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I'm happy to second that.
Thank you. Oh, Councillor Burr.
Thank you. I'd just like to bring something up. I was recently at a meeting, as were you, Chairman, and a great deal of discussion was had around North York County Council's recommendations to us, and sometimes we, as local members from wherever we are, sometimes are not probably accepting what North York County Council say. And I was quite intrigued by the meeting because North York County Council officers, they did say that they really, really did appreciate local members' views on certain areas that they felt were probably, when local members were probably going against North York County Council's decision. So, sometimes we do take weight of what they say, but I know sometimes, and I think Councillor Goodrick agrees with me, local members sometimes don't agree with North York County Council, and we probably have a better idea of what's going on in the patch. I'm going to abstain from this because I think that this particular area is an absolute blight on Kirby Moorside. I know quite a lot of residents who are absolutely fed up with it and just say, why on earth can't something be done with it? But I do appreciate that because we haven't had the reports that our officers have been saying, I do appreciate that probably that is a good enough reason for, you know, you not to accept it. But I'll be abstaining on that and just leave you with that thought regarding North York County Council.
Thank you, Councillor Burr. Just to clarify, we don't always see eye to eye with the Highways officers, but I think on this occasion they are correct in their summation with this. I also think that the environmental health officers are right to be concerned that the noise levels in this area with this B2 use would be probably far too high, and we haven't been successful, and rightly so, in housing in this area because it's just not the right area. So it has been moved and seconded for refusal, but Councillor Andrews is indicating again. So Councillor Andrews, you're going to get, this is the last time.
Chair, I haven't actually spoken on the debate. I've only asked questions, so I do think I do have a right to speak. It was going to be a very short comment. Is this the first time we've ever seen the County Council actually issue a recommendation for refusal on highway grounds?
Probably.
I've no idea, Councillor Andrews. On the basis that it has been moved and seconded for refusal, please can we go to the vote? Thank you, members. That's 8 votes for refusal and 1 again. 1 abstention, beg your pardon. /0092/full. It's on page 469 of your agenda. It is the same site, different application. So this is for the old North Yorkshire Highways Depot, Manor Vale Lane, Kirby Moorside.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Yes, it is the same site. The application is different to the previous one in that the proposed B1 office space is reduced. The space for the office is effectively limited to this building here, and it's for the applicant's to run his own office from the site. The rest of the buildings are proposed for B8 storage use. Significantly, this application doesn't propose any B2 garage mechanic use at all. As in the case of the previous application, the applicant has agreed to conditions which would restrict the weight of the operational vehicle fleet of users on the site and to restrict the B8 use to a named use, an antique dealer storage use. I think given that the conditions and the proposed conditions and the nature of the B8 use, that means that vehicular movements to the site, vehicular and pedestrian movements to the site, are much reduced. And I think it's a B8 use because of the specified name of it, which is in itself very unlikely to rely on deliveries from large heavy goods vehicles. So the combination of the nature of the uses proposed in this application and the use of those conditions does mean that to our minds anyway, that the highway and amenity concerns have been mitigated as far as possible. And as proposed, the scheme is acceptable. The local highways authority have confirmed, I think this was in the late pages, that they now have no objections to the scheme on the basis of the conditions and the combinations of uses proposed. The highways authority have recommended that if members are minded to approve the scheme, that we seek to condition some improvements along Manor Vale Lane, so some signage and a painted footpath on the carriageway. We have given this some thought, but I think against the context of what is now proposed on the site and how it's being conditioned, we actually think it is verging on being unreasonable if we asked or insisted for that to be provided. The uses now propose the very, very limited B1 use, and the storage use, the named storage use, are not uses that we would expect a vast amount of pedestrian traffic coming up and down that lane to the site. We can only really expect applicants to address the impact of their development. I think it's unreasonable to expect them to address what is effectively an existing shortcoming of the highway network, in that there is no footway along that route. Chairman, it is a brownfield site. We've been looking for suitable uses for the site for a number of years to help use what is effectively underused space. And to try and improve the appearance of the site. I think given where we've got to, we now are in a position where we think that we can recommend approval to the scheme subject to the conditions which were outlined in the late pages. Thank you.
Thank you, Jill. I will open it up for questions. No questions. Councillor Windrus, I'll be on the nearest local member.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm going to move officer's recommendation. It is time something was done with the site that can work, and I believe that this hopefully will work. So, like I say, I'm happy to move approval. Thank you.
Councillor Burr, you indicated so.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. As I said with the previous application, that is an absolute blight in Kirby Moorside. And I think North York County Council need to take a look at that road, because that's a blight as well. So I only hope that they're going to improve that road if a substantial amount of money is going to be spent on improving that area. I think it's probably right, this development, for the area. And I think, in fact, I don't think I know, the people of Kirby Moorside will be delighted that this brownfield site that they've moaned about for many, many years will have something significantly done to it. So it's been moved, and I'd like to second that. Thank you.
Sir Potter.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I'm most relieved to hear that we've been recommended approval for this, because I was going to do it anyway. I was looking at the positives and negatives to balance it up, obviously with the last item and this, and looking to see that there was no conflict with the band room, which has been a problem in the past. The site is clearly unsuitable for housing because of the band room. We're looking at employment on the site. We're looking at the use of a brownfield site that's been very brown for rather too long. It should improve an eyesore, but having looked at the pictures, not dramatically. But I think it just borders on the positive side. And on the negative side, now that we've got rid of that possibility of the B2, I just couldn't see any reason, providing there are sufficient conditions and restrictions on traffic, why we couldn't approve this. So, yes, I'm very pleased to support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Potter. It's been moved and seconded for approval. If we can go to the vote, please, members. Thank you, members. That's unanimous. Moving on to agenda item 14, application number 19/00431/full. This is a change of use of land for the siting of a 5-person glamping pod and 2-person glamping pods, with associated access parking landscaping at Manor World Farm, East Heslerton. And I think this is you, Jill. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Members, there are no updates to this report. The main issues around the application relate to landscape impact, the contribution the proposed development would make to the visitor economy. It is a scheme that is supported by the Wolseley National Trail Officer, but equally there are objections from local residents relating to disturbance from increased activity past properties. So I'll just show you some photographs. Just so you can orientate yourself, this is East Heslerton here. and the farm, Manimal Farm, is here, so it's accessed via a track southwards up the Wold, and this is the site of the pods. So effectively, it's on the brow of the Wold. Actually, you don't see it from East Heslerton itself. The site actually faces east because of the topography. That's just from the village itself. Access to the track is here, and I think the objectors to the scheme are a property here and a property here. This property and the property here. That's the access from the village to the site, and that's the track up the hill. So looking up towards the farm and the woodland, the site is really it's not directly in that view. It's just to the east, really. It's just round that little bend because the track bears round. This is the site here. To get to the top of the track, and you can see just from the distance views that it really is on the brow of the hill. The Wold's Way runs immediately to the north of the site. So the Wold's Way, the line of the Wold's Way, is along here. So obviously the site is very, very visible from the Wold's Way itself, although from distance views from the village and further afield, I think anything that happens on that site will really not be very visible at all. There have been some changes to the scheme. As originally proposed, the pods were in the middle of the field. They had canopies, decking, and there was going to be associated car parking. The changes that have been made are that the pods will now, the canopies and the decking have been removed. The pods are going to be sited a little bit further into that belt of woodland just to help mitigate their visual impact. And the car parking will be set within this woodland off the track towards the farmhouse. The farmhouse is further up that track and behind this belt of woodland. It's just a close-up view of the site, and that's the Wold's Way leading off into the distance. This is taken from the Wold's Way before you then cross to the site, and the farmhouse is within that, the other side of that belt of woodland there. This is just a close-up of the edge of the site, where the pods will be sort of set partially within that woodland cover. And that's the access, or the area where the visitors to the site will be asked to park their cars. So not on the main field itself, but within that area. Another view of that car parking area. Chairman, I think we take the view really that this is a modest level of accommodation. It's a modest scheme. There have been revisions made which I think to us make it acceptable in terms of its landscape impact. There will be some increased inactivity as a result of the scheme, although I have to say that we take the view that's probably not materially different to the activity that could be associated, or which has historically been associated with family members living at the farm itself. The Wold's Way National Trail Officer has made it very clear that there is a need for this type of accommodation along the Wold's Way, and specifically in the Sherburn area. Therefore, Chairman, the recommendation is one of approval as outlined in the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Jill. Questions from members? No questions. I will open it up for debate. There's no local member, so I'm happy for anyone to take this. Councillor Potter.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I can see very little impact from this. The visual impact is minimal. What does interest me particular is the National Trail Officer's support for this scheme and having walked the Pennine Way in the past, I know how important it is to have sensible accommodation at reasonable distances. So I think that's quite an important issue. So I'm quite happy to move approval in line with the officer's recommendation. Thank you.
Councillor Cleary.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Yes, my friend across the way just beat me to it. I echo everything he's said. I think also just to remind and reinforce the comments in the report about the visitor economy, how important the visitor economy is to this area. And it supports agriculture, which, as many people know, I'm very happy to support as well. I think the scale is very modest, and I think it's a good use of this particular area. I note the objectors and our officer has alluded to that traffic of any nature can go past these houses. The objectors live approximately a mile. I've had a quick look on the map. They live approximately a mile. It's kilometre and a half from the application site. So I'm very happy to second this application.
Thank you very much, Councillor Cleary. Members, it's been moved and seconded for approval. If we can go to the vote, please. Thank you, members. That's unanimous. Thank you, members. If we can move on to item 15, application number 19/00579/full. It is the erection of an agricultural livestock building for the housing of pigs. That's land off Westfield Lane, Thornton Liddell, Pickering, and I think it's Neave.
Thank you, Chair. As you've noted, this proposal seeks planning permission for the erection of an agricultural livestock building for the housing of pigs. The proposed building would house up to an additional 450 places, which will increase the total size of the agricultural unit in this location to 1,625 places. The application site is located within the open countryside, approximately 1 mile to the west of Thornton Liddell. It's to the southwest of the junction of Westfield Lane and Broadmeyers Lane. Within this parcel of land, there's two existing livestock buildings that you can see just here. And the precise application site associated with this application relates to a section of the more easterly field. Sorry, excuse me. The site is surrounded by agricultural fields to the north, to the west, to the south, and directly to the east. There is land in separate ownership in which a number of dogs are kept within sheds and a horse grazed. A manure store has recently been approved in the area of land that would directly adjoin the application site, which is indicated in red, and that was approved under an agricultural notification procedure. I would just note there's no public rights of way in close proximity to the site, and the North York Moors National Park planning boundary lies 190 metres to the north of the site. So as you can see, this is the location where the building is proposed, grouped visually with the two existing livestock buildings on the site. Access to the site is taken via this unclassified section of road. In principle, given that this is an existing and established farm enterprise, the principle of a new building to support the agricultural activity is considered acceptable. This is just a better view of where the site access will be taken from at the junction of the two lanes that I'd previously mentioned. And this is just the frontage of the site, and you can see the two existing agricultural buildings on either side. And that's just taken from the southern view looking northwards. So the precise application site is the area here that has been pegged out. It's located towards the eastern side of the land under the ownership of the applicant. The proposed building, as I've noted, would be attached to the recently approved manure storage building, which hasn't yet been constructed. This building would span approximately 18.3 metres by 18.3 metres, with an eaves height of 6 metres and a ridge height of 8.5 metres, incorporating materials that are broadly consistent with the previous structures on the site. It's considered that the character and form of this building is appropriate, and it wouldn't appear incongruous in this location. In terms of access and highway safety, North Yorkshire Highways have confirmed that they have no objections in relation to this development. The response does note that this type of unclassified road is maintained to the minimum standards, and an informative has been attached to note that any increased vehicular activity brought about by the construction or subsequent use associated with the development will not lead to any additional maintenance being carried out by the Highway Authority. So whilst we have had some representations and concerns raised in relation to the state of the track, given the response from North Yorkshire Highways, we're content that it is acceptable in terms of access and highway safety. Now, as reported in detail in the officer's report, concerns have been raised by third parties and consultees originally in relation to surface water and foul water discharges and effluent. This element has been extensively reviewed in the officer's report, and I won't review everything that was written there because I think there was almost three pages. But what I would note is that we've had a lot of additional information in relation to these matters. It's been confirmed that the existing and proposed pigs are bedded in straw beds. The floors of the existing and proposed building are concrete, which are sealed watertight. The straw bedding absorbs the manure, and then it's handled as solid farmyard manure with no slurry or effluent produced. The fields are mucked out, and currently the farmyard manure is transported to kind of different piles on the site, but with the addition of the manure store approved under the AgNOT building, it's considered that it will improve that process by keeping it dry and reducing field effluent production before it's ultimately spread. The new building incorporates a concrete sump within its construction for the collection of washing out water. And the proposed building and manure store would have a rainwater harvesting tank, and surface water would drain southwards via existing land drains towards Broadmire's drain to the south of the application site. These drains were actually checked on a site visit undertaken by myself and the council's environmental health officer. And the foul water discharge just comes out towards the south of the site. Therefore, that tallies up with the land drains that have been submitted to us by the applicant that were on a plan dating from the 1980s. And following all the additional information, it was confirmed by the Vale of Pickering IDB and our environmental health officer that they've withdrawn their objections to the proposal. The EHO, the environmental health officer, did note that further to our site visit, I can confirm that whilst on site, I inspected the land drainage outfall as shown on the original drainage plan in relation to Broadmire's drain, and I'm satisfied that it's suitable and sufficient to take the rainwater runoff for the existing and proposed development. I also inspected the existing buildings and could find no evidence or likelihood of contamination from effluent runoff. I'm also satisfied that should the procedures both outlined to me during my visit and the subsequent submission on behalf of the applicant Armentier, there will be no contamination risk from the runoff effluent from the existing buildings, and with the proposed sump and storage tank from the proposed development. And as you'll see in the officer's report, there are relevant conditions recommended to ensure that the appropriate foul drainage procedures are in place and the appropriate surface water drainage procedures are in place. So really it's an opportunity to secure appropriate conditions for not only the proposed development but for the existing buildings within the site. And in future, any changes to the established kind of mechanisms on site, if they are required, they will need the approval of the local planning authority, further strengthening the kind of provision within the site. There will be a small amount of internal hedgerow to be removed as part of this application. It's approximately 19 metres of, I think, what is a 600 metre long hedge. So it's been confirmed it won't be undertaken during the nesting season for birds. And I think, based on the conditions that have been recommended, we would seek approval for this application from members. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Do members have any questions? Oh, beg your pardon. Excuse me. There are two speakers, Councillor Andrews. Sorry, my mistake. We have the objector, Mr. Davy Porter, for Mr. Bob Gibson. If you'd like to come forward, Mr. Porter, Chair, and it's the large button at the bottom. You've 3 minutes certain at your representation, and I'll give you a warning at 30 seconds remaining.
Thank you, Chair. Good evening, Chair, fellow councillors, and committee members. I act for Mr. Jackson, and he has been for the past 50 odd years connected with the pig industry. I'm sorry, Mr. Gibson. Yes, yeah, sorry. Slip of the tongue. It's getting late. And he's been in the pig industry for some 50 odd years. Now, when this first arose 6 years ago, when they wanted to put a piggery there, there were certain conditions. And those conditions were an effluent tank. When we visited Rydell 6 months, 9 months ago, we said to the officer, there's no effluent tank. And she said, well, we haven't got the staff to check. Now, it's all right making conditions, but if those conditions are not looked at, you've got problems. The main thing of Mr. Gibson is that this building is too near his boundary. He's got valuable dogs in kennels on the other side of the road, and he's frightened of vermin. Now, with pigs comes vermin. And he is frightened that when his dogs are being exercised, that they pick up a dead rat. And of course, no dog. Furthermore, the smell, because it's near his boundary, would be off-putting to anybody who came to visit him at the kennels. And it's for these reasons that Mr. Gibson is unhappy. If the building was moved away from the boundary, all well and good. 6 years ago...
It is 3 minutes, sir.
Your council recommended... Sorry? Oh, sorry. Thank you very much.
We do have a second speaker, Mr. Morley, the applicant. The microphone is on, sir.
Thank you. Good evening. I farm at Westfield Farm. The farm includes a straw-based bed and breakfast finishing growing unit situated on Westfield Lane. The application is for a third building to run alongside the two existing buildings and manure store, which was recently consented and is due to be constructed in the near future. The building will help to ensure future viability of my business and complement my arable cropping with an on-site source of nutrients. It will also help me justify the continued employment of my one member of staff, which I would be unable to justify without the pig enterprise. As you'll see from the documents associated with this application, there have been lots of to and froing between the council and myself to provide further information. I have cooperated with every request and I'm pleased to see that the questions raised by the council, drainage board and other consultees have now been satisfactorily addressed and the case officers recommended for approval. I would therefore ask you to approve this application and thank you for my opportunity to speak.
I'm going to ask the officer just to come back on those comments. Thank you.
Thank you. I would say, as detailed within the report, the 2012 application, there were no specific drainage conditions recommended at that point when a building was erected for 780 pigs. In 2013, there were two conditions in relation to drainage and a manure management plan, and they weren't specifically discharged, but that has been noted within this report. And what we've been able to do in the determination of this application is secure drainage conditions for not only the new proposed buildings, but ensure that the drainage and the surface water procedures for the existing buildings are up to scratch effectively. The comment that I've read out from our environmental health officer is explicit in noting that it's not just the new buildings that he's content with, but it's also retrospectively how the development, the previous developments, treat surface water and foul water and any potential effluents. So I think from in that regard, we're actually quite comfortable with the development and the conditions that we have recommended. Thank you.
Councillor Andrews.
Yeah, just two questions. Could Mr. Gibson's, the location of Mr. Gibson's house be pointed out on the plan and the boundary be pointed out on the plan? And secondly, the smell from pigs, I mean, it's quite a strong smell. What sort of a range are we talking about for the smell becoming unpleasant for people?
Councillor Andrews. Neve's going to point out the adjacent plot, but Mr. Gibson lives in Pickering. Doesn't live next to the site. The buildings next door are what I would describe as former agricultural buildings, which are used to kennel dogs. Nobody lives there.
Whenever I've been on a site visit, I've met Mr. Gibson on the site and I've got a couple of photographs. So it's quite a bright photograph, but they're kind of the distance of those buildings in which the dogs are kennelled from the hedgerow, which kind of runs between the two sites.
But there's no house there?
Yeah, but no house, just kennels, and I think the grazing of horses is also undertaken. So it is technically agricultural land, I believe.
So if you're talking about the smell of pigs, I mean, I know you said the site is about a mile from, is it about a mile from the nearest dwelling?
Well, the farm buildings associated with this farm enterprise are located, I think, about 600 metres to the north. I don't have a great...
What about other people's dwellings?
I think this is a dwelling here. I mean, this is proposing an additional 450 places, and that is bringing the total up to over 1,600. In the representations that we've received, smell, aside from to the landowner to the east, hasn't been raised as a concern. So I don't think that is a specific concern in this regard.
All right, I'm still trying to. What sort of range would you expect the smell of pigs to be to disappear?
I mean, the other thing that I would mention is that whenever I was undertaking the site visit, well, the second site visit, it might even have been the third to the site, I was accompanied by the environmental health officer who is looking at this, not just in terms of drainage, but in terms of the entirety of the application, and this wasn't something that he had any concerns about.
Councillor Cleary.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's a point of information, really. As somebody who I fear to admit have had experience with pigs for 50 years. 50 years ago, a lot of it was on slurry-based, where... That was including on slats where slurry would drop immediately below the pens into tanks, and with the wind in the wrong direction there could be smell from slurry. My further experience is that pig food tends to be the greater smell rather than the slurry. Straw based pigs are entirely different, I wouldn't say kettle of fish, entirely different proposition, and any agricultural livestock will smell, and the range, where you can smell it from, depends which way and how strong the wind is. But this is an agricultural operation, it's on straw, so and through the report, all the questions, all the potential problems have been dealt with. But that's an observation rather than debate, sorry.
If there are no other questions, then we can go into debate. Councillor McKenzie.
Thank you, Chair. One thing that we shouldn't absolutely overlook, something that the gentleman speaking for the objector resonated with me. We once lost a very valuable championship-winning bitch whilst on exercise in exactly that way, picking up poisoned vermin. And I think... I just wanted to make that point that I've been there, I've seen it. Thank you.
Chairman, I think just a point of clarification. I mean, obviously you've seen the photographs of the way the buildings relate to each other. We have no planning history relating to these kennels. That's all I can tell you. I don't know how long the kennels have been there. All I know is that the kennels, the dogs are kennelled in these buildings, and that the owner, as far as I understand it, from Neave, lives in Pickering. So he lives in Pickering but kennels his dogs in Thornton Liddale. Now, I'm not suggesting there's anything wrong. He probably goes to them 2, 3, 4 times a day. As far as we know, they're well-run kennels and the dogs are very healthy. But we have no planning history of these kennels. As opposed to we do have planning history for this agricultural activity on the adjacent site. And somebody making an application for an expansion of his agricultural building in countryside outside Thornton Liddale. At the end of the day, we have to treat applications as we have to treat applications on their technical merits, taking into account what third parties will say of an application. In this instance, clearly there's been an issue with drainage issues in the past, and there hasn't, it would appear to be, been total compliance with the permission that was granted in 2013. That's come to light now, and through this permission,
we are gaining control of the entire site rather than just the building that's being applied for now. So it seems to me that's a bonus of this particular application. But when you come in to compare, you know, the impacts of a livestock building on, say, issues of amenity and smell or whatever it might be, then the additional controls that are given to livestock buildings relate to their proximity to protected buildings. That's in the permitted development order. And the limitation is the 400 metre rule that I think Port Councillor Andrews was probably referring to somewhere along the line. But this adjacent site does not contain a protected building. By and large, protected buildings are dwellings that aren't otherwise involved in agriculture, and there is no dwelling on the adjacent site. It's a kennel.
Right. I am going to move approval from the chair on the basis that there are existing livestock buildings. This is an expansion of a existing site. We have achieved more control of drainage, etc., with this application. And actually, we should be encouraging our farming community to expand and produce our food, basically. So I'm very happy to move approval. I don't know whether it's seconded. Councillor Cleary.
Seconded.
Much. Councillor Potter.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Yeah, for what seems ostensibly to be quite a simple application, I spent an inordinate amount of time on this one, and I'm aware that the officer likewise spent an inordinate amount of time on this one, and I've been extremely unimpressed with the application generally. I became aware that the drainage for this application was allegedly to be the same drainage as the previous application, and then it turned out that there was no drainage, no formal drainage for the previous application. So at least we got to the bottom of that one. It appears to have taken significant effort by the neighbour and planning officer to sort all this out. Similarly, it was claimed by the applicant that no hedges would be affected, and yet 19 metres of hedges will in reality be removed. I think this is all evidenced by the lengthy officer's report, as you will see, particularly regarding drainage and so on. There are concerns about the amount of traffic, which will be heavy lorries, but unfortunately there's no control over that, but that's something that we've got to be aware of. I sincerely hope that the conditions that have been put in place after all this effort are suitably effective, suitably monitored, and suitably enforced. So saying, I do have a lot of sympathy with the neighbour regarding the problem, likely problem with vermin and flies, and the fact that he does kennel his dogs on that site. So on the basis of all that, I just feel unable to support it. Thank you.
Anybody else before we go to the vote? Well, it's been moved and seconded for approval. If we can go to the vote, please, members. That is 5 votes for, 3 against, and 1 abstention, so it is approved. Thank you. Members, moving on to agenda item 16, application number 1900890 full. This is an application for the erection of two bedroom semi-detached dwellings with associated access car parking and landscaping, part retrospective, and that's land adjacent to North Lodge Main Street, Whitwell on the Hill. And I think it's you again, Neve. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. As you've noted, this proposal seeks planning permission for the erection of two bedroom semi-detached dwellings with associated access, parking and landscaping. As you can see from the satellite image, the application site, which is just here, relates to a plot which was formerly garden land associated with this semi-detached property called The Gardens. This is situated to the north of Main Street in Whitwell on the Hill, and there are residential properties to the west, northwest and east. The site falls within village development limits and also the Hawardian Hills area of outstanding natural beauty. A public right-of-way adjoins the site to the west, but this is actually along the easternmost boundary of the adjoining property, North Lodge. Recently, there have been some significant changes to levels within the site prior to the submission of this application, and that's the reason why this is being considered as part retrospective. So it's slightly overgrown at the moment, so you can't really appreciate the levels change at the moment. As was detailed within the officer's report, there were a number of letters of support and objection in relation to this application. We actually received a late representation following the publishing of the late pages from the occupier of North Lodge, who has previously made representation. This raises continued concern in terms of land ownership, the effect on highway safety, the scale of the proposed buildings and their impact on North Lodge and the street scene in general. I would note that the applicants currently provide a large number of rented properties within the village as per the submitted planning statement, and they have highlighted that due to the increased demand for accommodation in this location, they'd like to build the further two dwellings. They have appended supporting information from a local estate agent in relation to what's perceived to be a shortfall of 2 to 3 bedroom dwellings in this location, and these would be subject to local needs occupancy, which is how they have been applied for. The two bedroom properties would be constructed of traditional materials, including stone and pan tile with timber-framed external porches. They would span a total of 10.5 metres approximately along the frontage, and they would run ridge parallel to the road, mirroring the position of the other properties to the eastern side. And in terms of the mix of dwellings within Whitwell on the Hill, there are actually a large number of semi-detached properties, as you can see from this block plan. It's noted that the ridge height of the properties would span to 7.6 metres approximately, with an approximate eaves height of 4.8 metres. And we feel the architectural style and materials would accord with the local vernacular, and relevant conditions in terms of materials would be recommended. The scale and the height of the proposed development is considered to be acceptable, and it's our view that it wouldn't appear incongruous in this location. Whilst the buildings would be higher than North Lodge to the west, which is a more kind of cottage-style detached dwelling, they would actually be slightly lower than the gardens to the east, so it would appear to kind of continue the street scene in this location. Also, a levels condition would be recommended as part of any approval. It's noted that the applicants have recently built properties within the village of a very similar scale, form and design, including a pair to the southeast that are known as Teasel Cottage and Acorn Cottage. And that is those fairly similar dwellings that have now been constructed. It's considered that the proposals would maintain an adequate level of amenity space, commensurate to the size of the dwellings, and this would also be retained for the gardens, a low but acceptable level of amenity space. Solar panels are proposed on the southern roof slope of the dwellings, together with electric car charging points, and it is noted in terms of the impact on the area of high landscape, sorry, area of outstanding natural beauty. The A1B officer has no objection to the proposal. In terms of amenity, the properties would be located in an infill plot. This is the side elevation of the gardens, and this is a side elevation of North Lodge, which is mostly obscured by landscaping at present. And this is the property that's known as North Lodge Barn to the northwest of the application site. Given the positioning of the proposed openings on the two semi-detached dwellings and the relationship with neighbouring dwellings, it's not considered that there'd be any harm to residential amenity in terms of privacy or overshadowing. The agent has agreed that a new tree will be strategically planted along the eastern boundary of the site, and this will be controlled via the wider landscaping condition. There will also be a condition removing permitted development rights from the property to prevent any further openings being constructed that may lead to impacts on privacy. I would note the proposed development incorporates off-street parking for two cars for each property, and North Yorkshire Highways have confirmed no objection to the proposal in terms of access or highway safety, subject to a number of conditions. One of these conditions includes securing visibility displays to the west and east of the site, bearing in mind the existing landscaping that is mature hedging at these points. As detailed in the report, issues have been raised in relation to ownership of a section of the western boundary, with the owner of the adjoining property confirming that it was within their deeds, and they've maintained the boundary for a number of years. I have given an overview of what's been received within the late pages, continuing to raise concerns about land ownership, but the planning agent has come back to us and has noted that following legal advice being taken, they're content that they would be able to secure the visibility display, as the land is within their ownership. However, the issue of boundaries and ownership is ultimately a civil matter, in which the local planning authority can't become involved or give advice or attempt to resolve. The condition which the local highway authority have recommended in terms of visibility is important in this regard. It states that there shall be no access or egress by any vehicles between the highway and the application site, except for the purposes of constructing the initial site access, until displays are provided giving clear visibility along the total site frontage. And that condition makes reference to how they have to be achieved, measuring 2.4 metres back from the carriageway edge. Therefore, if that isn't achievable, the development couldn't lawfully commence. But again, the agent has confirmed that they do believe this is achievable. In terms of foul sewage, it will be discharged to mains, and the surface water will be discharged to an existing water course, which was also the case for the semi-detached properties across the road that have been constructed. In terms of archaeology, you'll have seen the consultation response. It is regrettable that the excavation work was undertaken without permission. However, it can't be undone now at this stage, and there'd be no benefit gained from requiring further archaeological works. So therefore, in conclusion, it's considered that the proposal for the erection of two infill dwellings along Main Street for local need is acceptable in terms of policy. They're considered to relate to high-quality, sustainable design with appropriate amenity spaces for the two new dwellings and the existing dwelling of the gardens. It's considered they can be undertaken without harm to residential amenity or access and highway safety. So for that reason, we've recommended approval of the scheme. Thank you.
Thank you, Eve. We do have a speaker. It is the agent, Lillian Coulson. If you'd like to step forward, it's the large button at the bottom, and you have 3 minutes to present your case. And I will give you an audible prompt at 30 seconds remaining.
Thank you. It's a long agenda, so let's keep things simple for what ought to be a straightforward application. Whitwell on the Hill is another village in the Rydal plan where infill development is allowed so long as restricted to local needs occupancy. This small site is within the development limits and a gap in an otherwise built-up frontage and so conforms with policy. The pair of two-bed semis proposed will be for rent. A local estate agent has confirmed there is demand for and a shortage of two- and three-bed properties for rent due to the inability of young couples to purchase homes in the area and for those who cannot afford to rent a larger house. Several supporters of the application have also expressed an interest in renting them, either for themselves or to enable family members to live nearby. These will all meet the tests of the local needs occupancy policy, and we have confirmed that a condition restricting occupation would be acceptable. Regarding design, the pair of semis proposed basically replicate what you've previously approved and has been built in the same street. They will have traditional elevations and be built using quality materials, yet be spacious, energy-efficient new homes designed for modern lifestyles with low running costs. They will be substantially larger than minimum national space standards. In fact, I checked yesterday, they're 40% larger than a similar two-bed currently for sale in Norton. They'll incorporate energy-saving measures such as solar panels and solar IPU systems for hot water and heating, electric vehicle charging points, and features such as level thresholds and wheelchair-accessible gardens designed to meet lifetime homes principles. So a step beyond the norm for housing generally approved on national housebuilder sites in some of the larger settlements. As far as access and parking are concerned, the arrangements proposed here replicate those existing for most of the street, i.e. long driveways along semi-detached houses with cars reversing onto the street. Appreciating the sensitivity of the site, we double-checked pre-application with Highways that these same arrangements would be acceptable here, given that we intended to ensure that their standards for parking and visibility could be achieved. Prior to their agreement and submission of any drawings, I checked with my clients that the requested works could be implemented, and they confirmed this after checking legal documents with their solicitor, and a subsequent solicitor's letter has again confirmed the ownership boundaries and that all works requested by Highways can be achieved as shown on the submitted plans.
30 seconds.
My clients are proud to be able to offer good quality, spacious, energy-efficient homes to local people, and their reputation obviously precedes them here given the number of supporters of the application for further accommodation in the village from existing tenants and also other local families seeking accommodation either for themselves or their children to move back. We all know that planning applications must be considered on their planning merits only and that there must be valid reasons for any refusal. On this basis, we welcome the consideration of the application today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
3 minutes. Thank you. I'll open it up for questions. Councillor Potter.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Just out of interest, do we know if the other similar houses that are built are also local needs occupancy? They are they? Thank you.
Can I ask a question? On that photograph, we've got a hedge line which separates the proposed site from the two properties there, North Lodge and North Lodge Barn, I think it is. Have we protected that hedgerow? Because I haven't seen it in any of the conditions, and I just would like to make sure that hedgerow is protected.
There is a specific landscaping condition. No, we can add that if members feel that that's something they would like to see.
Please.
Yeah.
It is shown on the plans, Chairman, so I think to refer to it as retained for the most part should not be an issue.
Okay, thank you. I'll open it up for any other questions. Sorry, I'm the local. Anybody else? Because I'll open it up for debate now. As a local member, I'm very pleased to see the application come forward. I've been in the village a number of times and seen both the two houses that have been built previously, and I think a very high standard will be achieved with this new site. My only concern is the retention of that hedge, and I think that's important. So, subject to a specific clause within it that says we'll retain the hedge, I'm very happy to move approval.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm not the local member, but I am a local. I'm very happy to echo what you just said and reinforce what the agent said about the demand, not only in the area for that type of property, but within that village itself. A number of people live there and speak so highly of it that other people, if not flocking, are very keen to move into that area, and this will help meet that demand. So I'm very happy to second the proposal.
Mr. Potter.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Well, from what I've read and what I've heard the agent saying, this seems to be a particularly thoughtful and considerate applicant. I'm particularly pleased that this seems to be local needs occupancy at its best, and it would very much appear that they are aware of the need and the demand. So this seems to be that policy working as it should do. I'm also more than happy to hear somebody at last mention energy efficiency and sensible design. It's such a refreshing change from the bog standard stuff that passes through. Yes, definitely can support this. Thank you.
Councillor Burke.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I was particularly interested to hear that these houses are going to be actually bigger than the houses that are prescribed at the moment, because they're just far too small for people to live in. And also I would like to echo the words that we're looking at the energy efficiency, etc., etc. I think it was always been known as a village that everybody likes, and as you know, I'm always trying to help the villages and get more houses into our villages. So this could be the start of, building in our villages. So more than happy to approve it.
Councillor McKenzie.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I was beaten to seconding it. I think it's an excellent proposal. The energy efficiency is wonderful. It's the sort of thing as a council we should be supporting. And the local needs occupancy as well. As Councillor Potter said, it appears to be a very thoughtful application. And I have no problem at all in supporting it.
Thank you, members. It's been moved and seconded for approval. If we could go to the vote. Thank you, members. That's unanimous. Members, moving on to item 17 on page 622 of your agenda, application number 19/00993 house. It is for the erection of a timber framed carport and integral shed, saw pit cottage, the Green Slingsby. And when it's actually Ellie, so who's doing it? doing this one. Oh, thanks, Jim.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Yes, there's an application for effectively a domestic outbuilding in the curtilage of Sawpit Cottage, which is a cottage which is just off the green on the western side of Slingsby and within the Slingsby Conservation Area. It's a scheme that has been subject to some negotiation and some design revisions, largely in response to some objections that were initially raised from neighbours. And effectively, the design of the building has changed from a symmetrical dual-pitched building to an asymmetrical pitch and a lowered ridge height to try and address some of the objections that are raised. That said, that we still have two outstanding objections from two neighbouring, the occupants of two neighbouring properties. I think, Charmian's members, the main issues that the application relating to the application is the potential impact on neighbours and the position of the building within the conservation area. So I'll just run through some pictures. So this is just an aerial view of Slingsby, the church there. So this is the western edge of Slingsby. Sawpit Cottage is here, so just off the green. Some members may recall that it was the subject of a planning application earlier in the year to extend the property and also to change the access from here to here. And the proposed carport building is to be sited in this northwestern part of the property. So effectively the new access will be there and the applicant would be able to park the car in that position. The objections to the building are from the occupants of this cottage here, Briar Cottage, and this cottage here, Prospect Cottage, and that's largely relating to concerns around the scale of the building and concerns around an overbearing effect, possible overshadowing. I'll take you through the photographs we'll just have a look at how those concerns may or may not be a particular issue. So this is where the new access will go, and the building will be sited at the back of the property. Clearly, there is a lot of established landscaping. The plans show that some of the landscaping will be retained in order to site the building. Some of it will need pruning back a little bit, but it will nevertheless be retained. So this is the northwestern corner of Sawpit Cottage, and the building that will be sited in this location. There is an existing small lean-to outbuilding there, and it's effectively will replace that building on that spot, albeit larger than that current building. So this is Briar Cottage here, and Prospect Cottage is the other side of the boundary there. So that is the lean-to which the building will replace, and effectively it's a building which will be in length about 5.5 metres, 5 metres in width there, and to a ridge height of just over 3 metres, but is with an asymmetrical roof pitch, so sloping in that direction with a smaller, more acute roof pitch. Pardon? I'm coming on to that, yeah. So in terms of the boundary with Briar Cottage here, This the back of this outbuilding is adjacent to that building. The eaves height of the proposed building is just a little bit lower than the eaves height of that existing outbuilding there, and it's no higher than the existing fence between the two properties. So this is a view looking along the boundary of the property. There's the little lean-to outbuilding as it exists at the minute. This is taken from the driveway between the application site and Prospect Cottage, the cottage to the west. So the building will effectively stretch from this corner here to here, and from that viewpoint there, most of that sloping symmetrical roof and the ridge height will be behind a lot of that existing vegetation. So won't be particularly visible, and actually I think in terms of the impact on Prospect Cottage, which is just sort of behind this shot here, very little difference to what's there already, given the height and scale of that vegetation. That's again from that driveway, Prospect Cottage, looking towards Briar Cottage. Those canes there were just something that the applicant put in place just to give an indication of the height of the building as it was originally proposed. Clearly, it's a lot different now. It's been reduced in height. The ridge height's been reduced by about a metre, and the ridge height will be over here now, the ridge, and it will be a very sloping roof form behind that vegetation. That's another view from the driveway between the application site and Prospect Cottage. So the building, effectively, the form of the roof goes from about 1.8 metres in this corner, sloping up to about 3 metres over here, and then down to about 2.2 metres here. Again, much of it behind some of the existing vegetation. That's just looking from the application site, from that boundary that we've just been looking at towards Prospect Cottage and the sort of the amenity space that it has. So there's a clear distance there between the application site and Prospect Cottage. And I think to my mind, the proposed building certainly doesn't result in any sort of unacceptable overbearing effect on the private space of that dwelling. That's just another view of the distance between the application site and the private space that Prospect Cottage has there. This is a view from the back garden of Briar Cottage looking towards the application site. So the building will be behind this fence. Again, I think you get very, very limited views of that sloping asymmetrical roof. And what you do see is just in what you would see would just be in the context of what you can see now, some other roofs in the distance. The building would effectively stretch for about two-thirds of the length of that fence, that neighbour's fence. But again, not substantively different in terms of the height of the existing vegetation. It's just some more views from that. The garden of Briar Cottage. Chairman, I think we take the view that the design is acceptable and it won't result in any unacceptable impact on the amenities of the occupants of neighbouring properties. It's a scale which we believe is not out of character or disproportionate to the plot. It's not out of character in terms of its scale or design with other domestic outbuildings in the village. There's clearly a mixture of buildings of a variety of sizes and of a variety of materials. So I think in that respect, we feel that the proposed building does preserve the character of the conservation area as well. So we are recommending approval subject to the conditions outlined in the report. Thank you.
Thanks, Jill. We do have a speaker, Mr. Stone. Would you like to come forward, Mr. Stone? I know it's been a long evening. It's the large button at the bottom. You've got 3 minutes set up to make your presentation, and I'll give you an audible warning at 30 seconds.
Good evening, everyone. Sorry it's been such a long night. I don't have a lot to say. Jill's presented the scheme pretty much as it is. I think I'd just like to say that our client is incredibly keen on the provision of renewable energy, and to those ends they, to be quite honest, didn't take our advice initially on how to handle the situation of a conservation area and a sensitive setting, and really wanted to maximise the provision of PV cells, which is why the initial design had a higher pitch on the south-facing roof. However, recognising that the neighbours weren't so happy with it. They've capitulated and tried to redesign and repurpose the PV cells elsewhere. There is mention within the reports of the ground source heat pump that you may remember from the previous application was part of that. They've opted to take that out of the house and to put it into this shed, partly to provide a little bit more space in the house, but also to keep it very local to where the boreholes will go into the ground. I think this is very simple. We've tried quite hard to make this sympathetic to its setting, and the applicant has been receptive to the officer's advice. So that's it from me.
I'll open it up for questions. Councillor Potter.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I take it then that the PV panels have gone completely from the application.
They've gone from the building, but as the agent has mentioned, they are looking to recite them, repurpose them within the application site under their permitted development rights.
Any other questions? No? I'll move into debate. Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. All the applicant wants to do is, you know, improve and invest money in the area. And I'm quite saddened, really, sometimes when neighbours do, you know, negatively respond, and obviously it's going to have no impact whatsoever. So I'll quite happily move approval.
Councillor Andrews, would you like to formally second the proposal?
I second it, Chair. I echo everything Councillor Burr says. I have nothing to add.
Thank you very much. Members, if there's no other debate, we can go straight to the vote. Thank you very much. Members, there is a list of delegated approvals that have been made by officers. There is also at the back the appeal decisions, which we have one that we have lost, and two, I think, that we've won.
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunate, the one we've lost.
Yes, the one that we lost was actually for the hand car wash down at Church Street in Norton, which the inspector thought it was appropriate to give a permanent permission to. We thought, really? So, you know, sometimes you read the decision, you think, oh, that's inspectors for you, really. Wasn't one we would have come to, I don't think. But the other decisions were, the one in Weaver thought was a very good decision about a backland plot on rising ground, and the impact on neighbours. And the third decision, which was one which I think my reading of it was that the inspector wasn't happy with that scheme but might be less unhappy if it was a less bulky an approach to an extension to what is a listed building in Langton. But that's for the applicant to decide.
Thank you, members. I'll declare the meeting is closed at 9:15. Thank you for your attendance.